This reading comes from Romans and starts at chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraged, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
Thank you, Naomi. Sorry, I gave you a particularly long reading, but you did a great job. Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Paul Cable. I've been the youth pastor here for the last 2 years, and it's been a challenging couple of years for all of us. It's been true for the youth ministry as well. And I think I just wanted to say that I just have loved the team that I've been able to work alongside the last couple of years. And I think just particularly just the volunteer team who are just giving up their time to come and serve our young people. Just so grateful for their input and support. And particularly, she's just headed over to the Youth Lounge, but Lucy Barrett-Mead has just stepped up to a huge volunteer role of coordinating the Sunday morning youth, and just so grateful for all she's doing. And so, do chat to Lucy. If you know young people in years 6 to 9 who would be able to join in with that on a Sunday morning. I also just wanted to use this opportunity to say that we would, particularly during this sort of season of change, we are in need of some extra help with the youth ministry. The team worked really hard to try and make Friday night youth happen, but we've unfortunately had to pause that for now, just because there just isn't enough team to be able to run a Friday night youth program. And that just means that we're not reaching out to young people in our community sort of collectively. And so there's a real opportunity there to start getting young people to gather in the Youth Lounge again. And we'll just encourage you, if that's something you would like to talk to us about, please do talk to Lucy or I or Jean or the staff team about that as a possibility. There's also, we're kind of just getting through on Sunday mornings and evenings. The team are amazing, but I think we would all agree that it'd be great to have maybe a couple more people sort of joining the team. And so if you're able to help out, we run younger youth on a Sunday morning, so that's years 6 to 9 over in the Youth Lounge, and then older youth, which is year 10 to 13, and that's on a Sunday evening, 7 to 9 in the Youth Lounge. So yeah, just huge thank you to the staff and the volunteers. So here we are at the beginning of the new academic year. Come on. It's been a tough couple of years. For some of us, perhaps they've been the most difficult ever. And we've experienced probably collectively just disappointment, doubts, pain, anxiety, hurt. And the reality is that we're probably not really through this yet. There may still well be tough times ahead of us. But it does feel that things are shifting as we adapt into this new season as the people of God together. And it's great to be able to meet again, to be able to declare the goodness of God as one body in this season of fear, and to speak words of hope in this time of pain and anxiety. And it is a new season for many of us, not only those that we've just commissioned today as they graduate youth group and step into adulthood, but for those of us who are beginning to adapt to new ways of doing life, home, and perhaps even faith. Lockdowns have been, and being isolated from friends and loved ones, have a way, I think, of putting things into perspective. So as we head into this new season, I wanted just to really take us back to basics this morning, if that's okay. Whether we're heading to university for the first time, or stepping into work, or readjusting family life, the question I want to look at this morning is, how do we go about that as a Jesus follower? How does our ordinary everyday life become something extraordinary? So this week, I've had a number of highlights, not trying to boast, but it's just been a good week. I started a new job at the Bridge, so I'm taking on the role of deputy director, and that's been really fun, just sort of getting settled in and meeting the team and getting inducted. Just being able to start my master's as well, which has been so much fun. Another highlight is my son did a poo in the potty. Woohoo! That was amazing, rather than the floor, so that's good. I think that's the best alternative. But even better than all of those things is something happened this week that was just amazing, and that is that the trailer was released for the upcoming movie, Matrix 4. Anyone else? Anyone else seen it? There's a few people. That's good. Neo is back, baby. It's been almost 20 years since we had a Matrix movie, so I'm really excited to see Neo, played by Keanu Reeves, turn to the big screen and do what he does. For those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, sorry. But here's the plot of the first Matrix movie for you, and you're very welcome. So Neo is in the rat race, work, sleep, repeat. Yet he senses that there must be something more. Along comes Trinity and Morpheus, who tell him that he exists in a kind of computer system and invite him to be unplugged from it. Neo agrees to this and is unplugged from the computer system called the Matrix, and he wakes up. He wakes up from the virtual into reality, a reality ruled by machines with wars and difficulties, but a reality where he's awake and he's able to make a difference. I want to suggest to you this morning that one of the most basic truths to being a Christian is that you've been unplugged, that you've been freed, you've been woken up and invited to a life awake and alert to the reality of the presence of God. Once we are woken up to the good news of Jesus, our faith helps us make sense of the world and the reality that we live in. So whether tomorrow morning you are packing for university or enjoying a coffee or getting out into the garden or heading to work or trying to get that kid to do a poo on the potty, do this as someone who is awake. Everything is different now. Elsewhere, Paul writes, once you were dead, but now you are alive in Christ. You are a new creation. And I also think this is the central idea to today's passage as well. Paul has just spent 11 stunning chapters unpacking what God has been doing in the world and how in Jesus he's called a people to be free and to live for him. And at the end of chapter 11, after this sort of amazing breadth of writing, he just cannot help himself. He just spills into praise and worship and adoration. And he says, oh, the depths, I've lost it, and I only know that bit. Oh, the depths and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments. And a bit later on, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The pen just takes a life of its own. And then he writes, therefore I urge you, sisters and brothers in view of God's mercy. Now, it's important that whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, that you see what it's there for. You're welcome, you can use that. Paul is saying, if so, then what? If so, then what? If the last 11 chapters are true, that we have been saved and freed by the mercies of God, then what? If we have been unplugged from the matrix, how do we live as a free people in the lecture hall, in the office, at home, at the gym? If so, then what? Being a Christian is first and foremost, it's a gift. It is an act of God's mercy. When we were enemies of God, instead of smiting us, he took to the cross and died for us. We did nothing to earn this mercy. It's a gift of grace and love. God delights in us. He was pleased to save us, even at great cost to himself. I think God would make a terrible Britain's Got Talent judge, because he would be backstage with his people, telling them that he loves and accepts them before they've even got out onto the stage and performed whatever act they were planning on doing. God already accepts them and welcomes them into their kingdom before they've done anything. God, in his love, has shown us mercy on the cross of Christ. Therefore, because of this mercy shown to us, Paul writes, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, or true and proper act of worship, as some translations write. Now, this phrase, true and proper, or the word spiritual, I think is not really the best translation. John, is that okay to say? I'm not committing heresy here. The Greek word that we've got for this sort of, is where we get our word logical from. I think it's better translated as this is our logical response. So perhaps we could translate it more like this. Because of God's mercy, which we know is demonstrated on the cross of Christ, the natural or the most logical thing for us to do is to give him our whole lives. This is what worship is. Worship is not just singing in church. Worship is a life laid down in service to God as a response to him laying his life down for us. The Message puts it this way. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. So, whatever you're doing tomorrow as an unplugged human being that has been brought into a new reality and a new story, how can we live every moment for him? He's laid down his life for us, so the most natural and logical way to show gratitude and appreciation is for us to lay down our lives for him as a response. This requires us, I think, to hold our goals and our agendas lightly. And it requires us to use what we're studying or the resources that we have or the family that we're forming for the sake of God's kingdom, for all that we do to overflow into mission, into generosity, into service, into love. This is the picture, I think, of the rest of the chapter. And I won't read it now, but I'd encourage you to go away and just read through that long passage. There's so much depth in there that's worth just meditating on. What does it look like to be this fully alive, unplugged human being that is swept into the mission and reality of God? I think one issue, though, is that often we try and do that on our own, but this is not Paul speaking to us as an individual. This is a letter being written to a church collectively. This is about the people and body of Christ. And he uses this analogy. I think Paul loves this when he talks about church a few times in the Bible. He uses this picture of a body. And the church is this body, and every part needs to be able to play its role and part in order for the whole body to be able to function. And Paul at no point puts an age limit on the body of Christ. This is a body made up of young and old parts as well. This is an intergenerational, multi-ethnic, diverse community, people who are on a mission together. And so it's important then that we are all able to use our gifts that God has given us, And that we particularly, I think, bring in young people to participate in our life together as the people of God. The other issue, I think, is that it's so easy to conform to the ways of the world, to look like everyone else, to share the same goals and desires and ambitions that are the dominant ones in our society. We can even make our Christianity fit neatly, I think, within these categories. And there's times in the Matrix movie, where the crew just kind of long to just be in this sort of ignorant bliss, be plugged back into the Matrix and experience the good life without having ever known the truth. Paul writes, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we're going to be a people who are tasked with announcing the good news, demonstrating the life and love of Jesus' kingdom, and whose lives are laid down in service, we have to train our minds to not conform to the patterns that are so ingrained and so well practiced in our society. Jesus' kingdom aims to put everything backwards, to reverse the ways of the world, that we would be a people of love in a time of loneliness, peace in a time of anxiety, patient endurance in a time of stress, kindness in a time of harshness, goodness in a time of brokenness, faithfulness in a time of compromise, and so on. The thing is, our minds are so well trained and practiced in the patterns of this world that we need to intentionally practice in order to retain them and to be retrained in the way of Jesus and the patterns of his kingdom. We can do this, I think, by reading and talking about and sharing the story of Jesus, by living it out through community, prayer, worship, sharing communion together, prayer, by seeking opportunities to serve Jesus that move us out of our comfortable patterns into this backwards, upside-down kingdom that is making everything right again. Can I just invite you, we're just going to have a moment of reflection and prayer. Can I just invite you, if you find it helpful, to close your eyes so we're not distracted. We've covered a lot of ground. Sorry about that. But in this moment, in this stillness, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be our teacher, to bring to mind the bits of this passage that you want to speak into our lives and hearts today. I just encourage you to prayerfully reflect now on just these final two points. So we talked about if so, then what? If so, then what? Can I encourage you to think perhaps what you might be doing this time tomorrow? Just take a moment. What's in store for you tomorrow? And then if so, then what? If Jesus has laid his life down for us, the logical and appropriate response is for us to lay down our lives, our goals, our agendas for him. So how might we be able to do that tomorrow? And secondly, over the next weeks, where around me or in my own life is there anxiety, loneliness, injustice, compromise, stress, or brokenness? And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to encounter us in those places, to bring the kingdom of God, to renew and restore and make right all things. Thank you that you walk through us in that pain and that brokenness. Help us to be aware of your presence, Lord, we pray. And keep us from conforming to the patterns of this world, but Lord, would you teach us how to be followers of Jesus for the sake of your kingdom as you seek to make right and renew all that there is. Come, Holy Spirit.